it gonna take to make this all stop now, baby? Till it all burns down, till it all burns down. Listen, mama, know you're broken hearted, cause the piece you're hoping for is off a scene's apart.
Welcome to We Love No Other podcast from IlliniBorg.com. I'm your host, Robert Rosenthal. It is early October. Leaves are beginning to crunch. So that can only mean one thing. It's time to talk basketball. I'm the last person you'd expect to hear say that, with homecoming this weekend and a game against Wisconsin. However, last Friday was local media day for the basketball team, and I was able to get several interviews with a lot of the newcomers, and I thought I would compile them all into one podcast episode. So I want to just start by talking about media day and the general feel of things and everything else, and then get to some specific topics I talked about with some of the newcomers. I wasn't able to get Omar Payne. He was doing other interviews, and they had to do some photos and this and that, and I was interviewing somebody else, and then he left. But I was able to talk to most of the new guys, and we'll get to some of that. First, let me just say it this way. They did the media, the press opportunity, the press conference for Brad Underwood in the media room of the State Farm Center, where the post-game press conferences happen. And then afterwards, they did the team photo on the court, and then all of the individual interviews were on the court. And it's just interesting. I mean, you'll hear some things. I think I talked to RJ Melendez about, you know, whether the, you know, what it was going to be like to play in an arena like that. When you stand on that court, It's kind of amazing how big the arena is, how big the State Farm Center is. I don't know, something about being out there in the middle of the court, which is somewhere we never are. It's somewhere, you know, only the players are. You know, something about the circle, really, when you're standing at center court, something about the circular nature of the entire arena, it can only really be seen from that spot, I guess. It's kind of amazing just to stand at center court and spin around and look at all the seats and look at, you know, how many seats were built just for a college basketball program, you know, how many people fill those seats, what it's going to be like this fall. And so it was just really interesting to be down there and to be talking to, and, you know, I'm just kind of wandering around and observing, you know, interviews with Curbelo and Kofi and listening to some of the questions they're asked. And it's just really fascinating to be, I guess I'll just say it, to be back. It's a completely different vibe from covering any event that I've covered in, what, 12 years of doing this? I mean, 12 years ago, I was just going to Rantoul and sitting in the bleachers, and that's how I was covering things. Or I was writing about a game after sitting in the assembly hall or sitting in Memorial Stadium. So this was really different. I'll say it this way. It's the first moment. It's the first media opportunity that I've been a part of that felt really different, that felt really confident and really, you know, let's just picture things I've been a part of, right? You know, I started the blog 2009 when I was covering events, like I said, you know, it's in the stands at Rantoul, whatever. Press pass from 2012, 2013 forward. And in those times I've covered post-game press conferences at basketball, and I've been part of player interviews after a football game. And it all basically through that entire period had this same sense of resignation, that we wish this football season had gone differently. We wish this wasn't going like this. We wish this basketball season wasn't currently 3-9 in the Big Ten. And It's all projecting and looking forward. And if we can keep this, and I'm telling you guys, we're close and all that kind of stuff. This was just the opposite. It was Kofi Coburn. It was Andre Curbelo, Trent Frazier, DeMonte, all very confident, understanding. You know, we haven't had face-to-face. You know, last season, there was no face-to-face with the players. There was no being around it. There was no just being around the strength of the program. It was all on Zoom, and it was, you know, you were covering a game, but you were far removed, and then you were looking at a screen and talking to the players. So you didn't get to be around that confidence. So to be around Coach Underwood and his assistants and these players full of confidence, to be around freshmen who are not, I don't know, how do you say it? That, you know, when if you're interviewing Malcolm Hill his freshman year, there's a lot expected of him that year. So to be around a freshman class of like, we'll see where these guys fit in, and they're trying to reach that level that the program is, instead of the program relying on the freshman to do something, you can just sense all that. Again, this could all just be in my head because I'm confident, but it was just different. I can't tell you how different it is to cover this versus, say, an Illini football media day coming off of a 2-win season. There was just this certain sense of confidence that I can't remember covering in any time, anything I've done. So it was really neat. I mean, I kind of soaked it in. I'm just standing there, and I took a little film that I watched of, you know, the freshmen were waiting for their opportunity to do this one photo shoot thing. So there's a basketball there, and they're just shooting, you know, Goody and Melendez and Pajemski are just shooting some threes, and there's just this, I don't know. It's hard to put a finger on, but as I watched all of this, it was like, yeah, this feels program-like. The freshmen aren't like, it's typical with the freshmen. They're more like, hey guys, you know, here's what standard we've set. Time to really put in some work to get there. Upperclassmen were just very confident and weren't very like, yeah, this season we're excited. We think we can turn it around. You know, it wasn't any of that kind of stuff. So as I'm wandering around just listening to players answer questions, it's totally different. And it's what we've always wanted, right? It's where we want to be. It's how we see Illinois basketball. But it was really, really encouraging to drive away from there, just kind of realizing what this team can be. You know, there's a lot more to it than that. One seeds don't just then come along every season once you've built it. There have been some great Illinois basketball teams that were a 5 seed. It's not that, oh, well, we're just a top 5 team from here on out. It's a lot of hard work to do. But the general vibe, the general sense being around media day, the answers in the press conference, the, you know, being in that room where I sat through a few Bruce Weber press conferences and a lot of John Gross press conferences and several Brad Underwood press conferences where when things weren't going well, to be around a smiling, happy, confident coach, knowing he's probably got another top 15 team and he really wants to make a run and he's excited to fit these transfers in, and it's just totally different from anything I've covered, and that's a really good thing. So let's get to some of it. Let's get to some of the interviews.
Grandpa started off, he played at K Kentucky, offensive lineman at Kentucky, and then won a Super Bowl with the Dolphins.
Uh-huh.
Uncle Trent, who's a in-law, but Trent yes. Green, he's uh-huh. Played for the Chiefs for a while. My other uncle, Conrad Goody, played for the Giants for a while, played at Mizzou. My dad played football at Indiana. Uncle played football at Indiana.
Yeah.
Uncle played football at Drake. Mm-hmm. Got a lot of family members. Then I have a cousin right now that plays for the Rams, currently rostered with the Rams, Ben Skronik.
Mm-hmm.
Played football at Northwestern and then Notre Dame his grad year. Had another cousin play quarterback at Northwestern, TJ. And then I got a cousin right now that plays quarterback at SMU. So a lot of family
that's
members.
That's a lot of football pressure, right?
All football.
So yep. What, I mean, there's got to be some of the family saying, like, you sure you don't want to do football? You know, did anybody contact you, say, you know, this maybe football's your route?
Yeah, I mean, kind of everybody knew that I love basketball. Everybody was, like, they knew that that was my thing from day one. They were super supportive. I never really had anybody kind of try and sway me one way or another, which is really nice. All my football coaches understood at the high school. They never tried to persuade me one way or another. They respected my love for basketball, and I just kind of took it from there.
This is a freshman forward, well, not a forward, guard, freshman wing, Luke Goody, who, let me just note, in person was a lot taller than I expected him to be. I've interviewed a decent number of Illinois basketball players. I'd say Goody is LaRon Black's height, probably. Is that right? That's probably right. He was just a lot taller than I expected. That's all. You know, I know he's a tall shooter from the outside and that he was listed at 6'6 in high school. I think he's probably a legit 6'6. I don't know. Could push 6'7. I don't know. Maybe he's 6'5 without shoes, but he was just a lot taller than I expected him to be. I guess I'm somewhat expecting a shooter, an outside shooter, which is his reputation coming in, but he seemed a little more forward-like in his frame and height. So I guess that's neither here nor there, but that was my first impression. And, of course, my first question to anyone is going to be about football. I wanted to know. I knew that he had family from Trent Green to everyone else that had played college football. And, you know, I just wanted to get the full list from him and why he went the basketball direction. So there's more to that interview. I'll play it for you right now. I kind of, you know, wanted to know some of the background behind his, well, you know what? I'll just let you listen to it. Here it is. Yeah. Now I saw you trying to be back row there in the team photo, but then Connor was a little taller.
What
are you measuring out at right now?
I haven't got an exact measurement, but when people ask, I say about 6'7". So that'd be my estimate. I don't know the exact measurements, like I said, but that's
so
rough.
Can we read into you wanting to stand in the back row with Kofi instead of the front row with the guards?
I told them before we took the picture, I've never been in the front row. I've always been in the back row for everything. So when Connor took that spot, I was like,
you thought you had it, but Connor's what, 6'8"?
So he's 6'7", 6'8".
Yeah, so he's got you by a
half inch.
A little bit. Okay, so for people don't know you, describe your game.
I would say for someone that hasn't watched me before, I would say that I'm kind of a shoot-first guard, but I can also make plays off the bounce, and I have a very good basketball IQ. That's something I take pride in. And I'm a team-first guy. That's something that I really like to say that I am. I would do anything for the team to win, dive on a loose ball, get a rebound, pass up a shot for a better side, just stuff like that. So.
Uh-huh. Got
That's
it.
How I describe my game.
Got it. And then tell me about that one game, the one that kind of went viral. I think it was even ESPN top 10, right?
It was number one.
That's right. The corner three to win the game.
Yep.
Take me through that whole play. Like, were you coming out of a timeout? It was like one shot to win it?
Yeah, so we were down two, or down one or down two. Fletcher Lawyer got the steal, called a timeout. We had like 2 seconds left. Coach drew up a play. I was supposed to go from the block to the opposite block to the block and get a post up kind of fade away.
Uh-huh.
And my guy went over the screen, under the screen, something, and I felt like I had space. Ran to the corner, turned around, hit the shot. It was a cool moment. It was a really cool moment.
When did you find out it was going to be number one on SportsCenter Top 10?
So later that night, actually, we drove home. It was about 2 hours away, the game was. We drove home, got home, and someone sent me a video on ESPN, and it was number one. And me and my mom turned it on, watched the whole episode of ESPN, and waited till the end to watch it. So it was a pretty cool experience.
And then you, of course, recorded it and put it everywhere that you possibly could.
Of course. That's something that you never forget.
What's it like going into high school the next morning of, like, hey, I saw you number one on ESPN top 10 last night?
Yeah, well, the social media blew up. But during the season, we actually I didn't go into school.
So
we had the choice out of high school. We had the choice whether to go in or not. But because of quarantine rules and all that stuff, we didn't want to mess with it. So
you didn't get that walking down the hall moment of
Luke, we're sorry. The amount of text messages that I had.
I'm sure, yes. It's a different world. If I was in high school, it was just, we didn't have cell phones. You'd have to wait to get to school the next day. You get it all immediately. Okay, I appreciate it, Luke. Thanks for talking.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Let me try to explain that sound there. I believe what I did, I have my microphone in my left hand, I have the phone in my right hand with a cord between them. I believe I extended the microphone hand for a fist bump, and when he fist bumped me, it made that sound. I will someday figure this all out, and even have better equipment and not have microphone sounds. Just give me, I don't know, 6 to 10 years, and I'll have it all figured out. Next up, not really a newcomer, but a guy who's been here 2 years but hasn't played yet. 1 year he had to sit out for transfer rules, and last year he sat out with a back injury, but I hadn't had a chance to talk to him one-on-one. So here's what I talked about with Austin Hutcherson.
All right, let's talk about the what I'll call the bet on yourself moment of your D3. You start to think you could maybe play, you get your name out there, your coach gets your name out there, you start hearing from Notre Dame and Illinois and everything else. Were you surprised at the outreach that you got? Were you thinking you could? What was that process like?
I always felt confident that I could play at this level. I was surprised that big of schools were reaching out first. I thought, like, me and my family talked, obviously, in the beginning of the process, and we thought it was going to be kind of a gradual increase, like kind of mid-major schools, sure. a couple big schools. But it was really big schools off the bat, and that was a little bit surprising, but exciting as well. And and like you said, kind of bet on myself and just know that I can play at this level and just make the jump.
I remember, I think there was an open gym when you were on your visit. I remember seeing you and your family there. I think it was right at the end of your visit. At that point, did you know, had you made the decision you were coming here, or did you have to get home and go talk about it with your family and all that?
No, I made the decision here on my visit. The moment was we had a dinner at coach's house. All the players came and they took me to kind of his theater and showed me this film, like my play at my old school. Mm-hmm. And kind of they broke down, like, really analytically all the things I did, like how I finished my right versus my left, shooting different spots and zones. And I think that their biggest thing was just making me turning me into a pro, mm-hmm. and their ability to do that. And mm-hmm. that's what I really bought into, that and the coaching staff. So they won me over for sure.
Yeah. And eligibility-wise, I guess you technically have 2 more years of eligibility because of COVID. Is that where you're at eligibility-wise?
Yeah, I have this year and next year.
This year and next year. Okay. So what have you set any goals for this year? I mean, is it just like get on the court, be healthy, that kind of thing? Or are you –
yeah.
You know, is that the first step here?
Yeah, the first step. Just – keep it simple. Just get on the court, play, show the world what I can do, and whatever comes with that comes with that.
Yeah. I'm sure you hear a lot of the Duncan Robinson comparisons just because it's another D3 shooter who, you know, made the jump to D1. Do you see it like that? Was that an inspiration for you that this guy can do it? Did you even think about that, or was this just, I want to play a higher level basketball?
I didn't really know about it until – kind of I started the process, then I started seeing all the comparisons and stuff like that, and and he reached out, and we kind of talk here and there, and I knew him obviously because he played at Williams, which is in my conference, but I mean, yeah, it was definitely inspiration just knowing that it's possible, knowing that someone had done it, and I think I really just am thankful for the coaches, honestly, because they didn't really try and compare me to anyone. They were just like, if anyone can do it, you can do it. Like, we trust in your game. We trust in your abilities. And that was my reasoning. Yeah.
So I'm fascinated by that. So he reached out with you on social media and just say, hey, I see you're jumping D3 to D1. I mean, I guess he was with the Heat at that point.
I can't remember who reached out first, if it was me or him. One of my friends from Wesleyan, he's like one of Duncan's really good friends. So I think they made the connection that way. But yeah, I mean, he's a really cool guy. He was on the – he was last year, I think, he reached out, and I was hurt. So, but, yeah, he, you know, he talks – gives me advice here and there, tells me kind of what he dealt with, and it's pretty similar. So, yeah, he's been a great – great person to talk to and get advice from. So yeah, it's been good.
And what's that like to hear from, I mean, a guy who's, you know, lighting it up in the NBA, contacting you and saying, hey, you can do this?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely great knowing that that people are watching, knowing my story kind of, and to have a guy in his position reach out kind of just shows what kind of person he is. He's a really good guy, and I'm thankful for it.
Thanks, Austin.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so my brain came alive. You could probably hear it there when he said that, you know, he had chatted with Duncan Robinson. Because so many comparisons have been made between the two. And honestly, I did not know that they both came from D3 schools in the same conference. So, you know, afterwards, obviously had to immediately go home and Google all this. So here's what I learned. I'll share it with you. So both of their schools are in the NESCAC, the New England Small College Athletic Conference. The NESCAC has, I think, 11 schools. They are Amherst, Bates, Bowdoin, people making fun of me already, a college in Maine, Colby College in Maine, Connecticut College, Hamilton College, Middlebury. Wait, my roommate sophomore year first semester, his girlfriend, I think, went to Middlebury. I swear she went to Middlebury. Anyway, I'm totally losing you now. Trinity College, Tufts, Wesleyan University, which is where Austin Hutcherson is from, and Williams College, which is where Duncan Robinson was before he transferred to Michigan. So there you go. You know, if you get a shooter out of the NESCAC, he is obviously going to someday set the record in the NBA for fastest to 500 three-pointers. Okay, you know what? I'm just here. I'm going to pause right here, and I'm going to look up how to pronounce Bowdoin. Okay, I'm going to look at it up, and please hold. Oh, folks, do I have a treat for you. In trying to figure out how to pronounce the name of this college, I found this video, a guy with 169,000 subscribers on YouTube who pronounces things and puts soothing music behind it. Please don't hold the left-right thing that's going on here. That's part of the video. Maybe that's part of the experience here. But here is how to pronounce Bowdoin College.
We are looking at how to pronounce the name of this college, located in Maine in the United States. How do you say it? If it was in British English, this would be said as Bowdoin, Bowdoin. Although in American English, this is usually pronounced as Bowdoin, Bowdoin. In American English, Bowdoin College versus Bowdoin. In British English, in American again, Bowdoin, Bowdoin College. And now you know. Here are more videos on how to pronounce more interesting names of famous places and cities and universities around the U.S. I'll see you there to learn more. Thanks for watching.
I'm supposed to follow that? Like, I'm supposed to continue on? I mean, you're supposed to go on a high note, right? Costanza here? Like, how do I follow that? That's perfection. So now you know how to pronounce the name of Bowdoin College. All right, let's move on. Next, we're going to go to Brandon Pajemski. Why do I even set these up? Why do I need to say anything? I don't need to tell you what's coming up. Here it is.
I want to first ask about recruiting. So you're basically in the class that missed out on that AAU right. summer. Yep. You know, like, and so it's probably a reason you kind of blew up later kind of thing. What was that like? I mean, it had to be frustrating to go into that spring like this is the year and then there's no AAU.
Yeah, it was frustrating, but you know, I kind of took it off my hands and put it on my family just to handle that stuff. All I could control was playing basketball and getting better each and every day. I couldn't control whether I could go on visits. Coaches could come see me. I couldn't do really that. So my focus was just being in the gym and, you know, getting better.
Yeah, I've talked to guys before going into that you know, after your junior year somewhere where they're like, okay, this is it, I'm going to prove it, I'm going to climb up the rankings. Did you have any, like, you know, did you lose confidence in that? Like, is this going to happen, or will I even have a chance to show out? You know, what was it like?
Nah, I feel like the hard work always plays itself out, no matter, like, you can't cheat it. If you're hard working and you work on it every day, like, you can't be bad at something. Like, it's impossible. So I knew the hard work's always going to show out, and I just kept to my grind every day. And rankings don't really matter. Mm-hmm. Like, no, I could be unranked, and I'm playing Division I basketball. It doesn't matter. All I need is opportunity. So yeah, that's what I was thankful for Illinois.
So what was it like when it did blow up? I mean, you all of a sudden, you know, Kansas, Kentucky, everything else, you know, yeah, that'd be a little crazy, right?
You know, my family did a great job of just keeping me even-headed. Because, I mean, they're just offers at the end of the day. It doesn't guarantee you anything in terms of your success at this level. So, yeah, you know, I just kept even-keeled and kept going.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, tell me about this. You know, the one highlight that spread everywhere on the social media was your kind of buzzer beater where you brought it up the court, yep, from about 30 feet and you hit. It looked like there was a little extra in that game, maybe a rivalry, maybe they were yapping, yeah, the whole game.
So our coaching staff, our coach, his daughter is his wife of their team's head coach.
Okay.
So they're basically family to me. Yeah. I've known them, whatever.
Yeah.
And so they basically just put two guys on me and chased me around and played 4-on-3 the rest of the game.
Uh-huh.
And their bench was just talking the whole game. So, like, I mean, I ended it and I felt like I did the right thing. Like,
yeah,
that's how I play. Like, I'm like, if you're going to talk, I'm going to talk too. So
yeah,
that's how I play.
Yeah, that one feel a little – was that a little extra motivation for you in that game? Like, you know, that was a confident stroke.
Yeah, especially when, like – when you see teams, like, come out and try to, like, do their best to stop you, and you just push through it, and you can show them that you're better than them no matter what they try to do, is just something that's really nice to see.
Yeah. Do you have any of that? Do you carry any of that, say, a guy from Wisconsin, you know, when you go to Madison the first time? Is there a little extra for you?
I can't wait. You know, when we go there, it's not obviously not going to be this year, but next year, I can't wait.
Yeah.
I'm itching at the bit to get there.
Yeah. And then what about this game at Marquette? I mean, that's probably even similar to that, right?
Yeah, that's way closer to home anyway. It's just like 10 minutes from home. You know, a lot of family and friends are going to be there. So I know a lot of the guys at Marquette that go there.
Yeah.
So now I'm really amped to play there.
Yeah. All right. Appreciate it. Thanks. Yeah.
So I considered asking him there about the Wisconsin recruitment, but I didn't. I chickened out. Basically, I don't know if you are aware of the story, but how do I shorten this? He's part of an AAU program. When Tyler Herro left to go to Kentucky, who decommitted from Wisconsin and went to Kentucky, he faced a lot of hate from Wisconsin fans online. It's not confirmed, but many say that AAU program is like, okay, we're done with Wisconsin and its fans if they're going to treat our players like this. And so the scuttlebutt was that Pajemski didn't even consider Wisconsin just because of that rift. So it was quite interesting to hear him say he can't wait to get to Madison. You know, I'm not exactly sure what's truth and what's rumor and all of that, but and I guess I could have asked to confirm that, but I didn't. Let's move on. We're going to go to RJ Melendez next.
When your recruitment did start to blow up, what was it about Illinois that you found yourself attracted to?
It's really the love Brett Underwood had for his team, like the passion he had for coaching, and how the team, like, connected in games and out games. Like, you can see all the teams, like, whenever they were going downhill, like, you couldn't see them just, like, spreading out the court, just thinking about, oh, how we can win. But Illinois was way different, because if one of us would have been in the free throw line, each one of them, like in the Michigan game, they would have been talking down there all together, like figuring out how we can keep going the roll and how we can get better at the game. So I really love that about the team, and just the love they show me is just amazing.
So was a lot of it like the performance that team had last season? Were you watching it a lot at home even before you committed?
I was watching it a lot at home, but it was really like every time I talked to Fraser, it was just what he told me about practices, what he told me about how they treat themselves in here is just amazing. So, and the Illini fans, like, they have so much love for us, and it's just amazing. So I really felt like cared in this place, and knowing Bello is a great point guard, I can communicate with him as being a Puerto Rican. It was just a better chance for me.
Yeah, yeah. And what is it, you know, you talked about you'd worked on your body and everything else. Is it any different with Fletch now? Is it harder? Is it Is it a different kind of thing with a college
Fletcher
program?
Fletcher helped me out. I've gained like almost 25 pounds this summer. Mm-hmm. And he's like an amazing coach and trainer. And I really appreciate all the work he has done with me. And there's still a lot more work to do.
Mm-hmm. We're standing on this court here. You see 15, 16,000 seats. I'm guessing you haven't played in an arena like that. Are you looking forward to the moments on a court like this?
I am really excited for that moment. I can't wait. I'm really desperate for it to happen. And just watching all the fans supporting us and just us doing our work at the court and they're doing our work at supporting us is just amazing how I can see all the cheers. Just imagine every people just cheering for us. It will be like goosebumps everywhere.
Yeah. And tell me what you bring. What kind of player you are? If fans don't know you very well, what do you bring to the team?
I'm gonna bring everything I have on my court. As a shooting guard or small forward, I'm gonna bring everything. Effort plays, hustle plays, so that those extra minutes and plays that will win for us in the tournament.
Props to the SID staff. For having this on the court, it's just really it provided a lot of good answers. There's just an environment, you know, standing there as he's looking up and just looking left, looking right, looking at all the seats. It just adds to what he put into answers about stuff like that. So I really enjoyed that. And the reason I'm following that one with this one is because the last player interview of the newcomers, again, I wasn't able to get Omar Payne, but the last player interview is of Alfonso Plummer, the transfer from Utah. And just so happened that where I interviewed him was on the south baseline? It doesn't matter. One of the corners, basically. One spot where he's going to hoist several threes this season. And so we just kind of looked at the court and talked through the court and talked about where he likes to shoot from and all that kind of stuff. So it was really nice to kind of picture it. They have I guess I should give a little background there. So the women are mostly practicing in State Farm Center because Ubbin is down to one practice court right now as they begin the renovations. And so the women's court is kind of a construction site right now, and the men's court is will be the second phase kind of thing. And so because of that, they had a bunch of markings on the court and other things, and the three-point line had, what was it, six different spots marked with red X's. And so when you hear us talking about that, you can just picture around the three-point line six different X's as places to shoot from, and that's what we're talking about.
I want to ask you about the number 11. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some history here. You know, D. Brown's hanging right there. Io is going to be hanging up there someday wearing the number 11. Were you aware of the history of the number when you chose 11 for your number here?
Oh, yeah. But I didn't choose it because of the history. I choose it because I love 11. It's a great number.
Did you wear the Utah and the
Chico? No, I never wished 11, but yeah. The options that they gave me, mm-hmm. I feel like 11 was the best fit for me.
Yeah.
I just pick 11 because I feel like I'm a represented, mm-hmm. in a good way, and I just have the confidence, you know, to just be a special guy.
Yeah, yeah. So what's the, you know, you're a shooter, so we're standing here in the corner. What's the shooting background like here? Do you like it so far?
Yeah, love it. I would say, like, I started, like I said, when I was like, I started basketball at 7, uh-huh. but like when I started like getting better on my shooting at 11, 12 years old.
Uh-huh.
My dad, my role model, he was a shooter as well, uh-huh. pro player,
yeah.
prepared for the national team of Panama. Mm-hmm. So he taught me how to be a better shooter, how to work on my mechanics, my legs, my body, uh-huh. my mind. So yeah, he just emphasized how to be a great shooter.
Uh-huh. Did he ever, do you know if he ever played against Bello's dad, who was with the, were they the same age, do you know?
No, I don't think so, because my dad played in Panama most of the time.
Oh, okay. I know his dad played on some, like, international teams, but I can't remember exactly. Anyway, just a question. Okay, so we've got six X's around here.
Mm-hmm.
you know, two corner threes, two edge, two kind of the top. If I'm picking you to say, okay, get it five in a row, which of these six spots is your spot? Is it the corner, top of the key, edge? Where do you feel five in a row? Yeah, you got to make five in a row and you have to pick one of these. All of them.
Yeah, I don't have no spot.
You don't prefer corner versus top of the key, nothing?
I work on my game so much, man. I feel like every spot is just the same shot for me. So.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So the background, like the backboard doesn't affect you when you shoot top of the key?
I can't really, I'm left.
Yeah.
And you know, I shoot from here, kind of the backboard kind of avoid, but I feel it's just, it's just the same shot for me. Because I be working so much in the mechanics, it doesn't matter, like, the angle. I know how to put the ball in the basket.
Yeah. What advantage is there to a lefty? I mean, there's been a lot of lefties. I mean, you don't play with some lefties here. What do you think there's an advantage to being a lefty player?
Yeah. A lot of guys, they used to right-handed because, like, you know, like probably more than 80% of the players in a basketball, they right. So when you left, you got a more advantage on going left because when they slide left, they don't have the same strength when they slide right.
Got it.
Because they be doing more time right than left. So yeah, you got an advantage. Also in shooting, everybody go close out with trying to close out to the right hand of the shooter. But if you're lefty, they have to go to the other hand, and I feel like
they're just used to running at the right shoulder on a run out.
Exactly. Yeah. So I feel like kind of uncomfortable. So
yeah,
it's kind of, you got a little bit of advantage, but at the end of the day, like if you're lefty or righty, at the end of the day, you just gotta like be a consistent. You know what I'm saying? Be consistent and.
Yeah. So if you're shuffling trying to get a shot off, can you tell when a guy isn't guarding you properly that he's just like he normally is guarding that shoulder?
Yeah,
and
we got a term. It's called man down. Uh-huh. I mean hands down, man down. Uh-huh. So every time I catch the ball and I see the man with the hands down and not up, that's a shot for me.
Got it. So how are you adjusting to? I mean Utah to Illinois. How's it been so far?
Great, man. Utah was a great experience. You know, there was a lot of good coaches over there, a lot of good players that teach me a lot, taught me a lot. But I mean, I feel like this conference gonna take me to another level, just because I know everybody here is a pro. Mm-hmm. Everybody and every team is a pro. And the coaches, they got a lot of knowledge about that, and they're gonna make me better as a basketball player and teammate. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's say there's a three-point shooting contest like the NBA contest, and, you know, five racks of balls all the way around. I'm guessing you're going to put yourself in the finals on the team if the whole team is shooting.
Yeah.
Who are you facing in the finals, do you think?
Trent Fraser.
You and Trent.
Trent and Hutch.
Trent and Hutch, okay.
Or Luke.
Okay, so those the four, that's the final four.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a bracket then.
Okay.
It's you against Luke in the semifinals, and then it's Trent against Hutch. Who are the two finalists coming out of that group?
I would say me and Trent.
Okay. And then who's going to win? 25 balls, you get like 2 points for the last one. Who's going to win that shooting?
It's going to be a great one.
You going to call it a tie?
I can say me or him because we've been shooting really well in practice. Yeah. Uh-huh. So it's going to be a good one.
So it's a lefty thing, huh?
It's a lefty one.
Got it. I appreciate it. Yeah. Thanks, Rafa.
Okay, so I have one interview left. Not really an interview. I just have a question. I had a question for Brad Underwood. Wasn't able to get the mic during the press conference. And so I found an opportunity while the players were being interviewed to just ask him my question. And it's what's been on my mind for the last few weeks about the basketball team. Before I ask the question, maybe I'll expound on it a little bit of why it's on my mind. And then play you the question and his answer, and we'll close this podcast that way. My concern, not really a concern, but my observation, is that too much? Is that maybe preseason people are putting too much on sophomore year Andre Curbelo? The reason I say that is because Io's sophomore year, you know, he had started most of freshman year and, you know, there were heightened expectations for his sophomore year, but it probably wasn't even to this level of people like, you know, people are projecting Bello to be like, will he be on one of the All-American teams with Kofi and all this stuff? And it's just a lot of hype, and that's a lot for a sophomore kid. And if it's more than it was for Io 2 years ago when he was entering his sophomore year, you know, not that I don't think Bello's ready. It just seems like the hype is really, really strong. You know, I saw some, you know, what was the thing that happens, the number 15 player in the country and all this kind of stuff. You know, that would be third team All-American. So I was just curious about him. I'm curious if his coach was at all concerned that, you know, this is just his sophomore year. He's yet to start a game. This will be his first start in the first game here. So what's that going to be like for him? Is it too much too soon? Is he ready? That was my question. That's what I've been worried about. That's what I've been wondering. So we will end with this. This is me just walking up to Brett Underwood and asking him that.
There's been a lot of hype for Bello, like national media, everything else, maybe even more than Io as a sophomore, and Bello has yet to start a game. Are you concerned about that at all, like that there's too much expectations on the kid?
Here's the one thing about Bello. Bello's been on the national stage. He's been at the highest levels. He's had these expectations put on him since he was 15 years old. He's confident, and he's a guy that has savvy beyond his years. So I don't. His success at the end of last year, had he not had that, maybe. But he had that. My opinion, very easily could have been the MVP of the Big Ten tournament. But he's a guy that has... he's experienced most, just about everything that you can, because of his FIBA, his basketball's allowed him to achieve that. So it's not something he gets totally wrapped up in. He's an extremely competitive kid. He's a great leader. So I think it's just one of those things that I'm excited for him. And
you think like that funk he went through in February is like helpful, that he's gone through kind of one of those like kind of really work to get it figured out here?
I think it was a challenging year for him mentally. You know, and I think Bello went from we recruited him, Io's not here, to Io's back, and now I know this is his team. His personality is dominant, you know, in terms of being an alpha. But he felt like he had to impact when he got in. I think he tried to do a little too much. He finally settled in. And then as for any freshman, a freshman year, that first year is a long year. Add the COVID issues and all of that, and I think it was just very typical for a guy to go through that. But we saw what happened when Io went out. We saw a different – we saw a guy make a huge jump, make a jump that not many people can. And, you know, I think that's what's got everybody excited. It's got me excited.
Cool.